Welcome to the Cozy Minimalism Podcast. I'm Angie. I'll be your virtual navigator on this path to minimalism. I want to help you create a home that nurtures and supports you, rather than one that drains you and stresses you. My home is a regular, everyday home. It's not magazine worthy. And some days when I'm not feeling good, our home will be untidy. But it's never out of control like it used to be. I offer you a softer and lighter side of minimalism, something realistic and thoughtful, and maybe even a little funny. I always love to hear your feedback, so make sure you hit me up on Facebook or Instagram and tell me how I can serve you better. We have a crotch destroyer in our house. Actually, let me rephrase that. We have a pant crotch destroyer in our house. I'm going to set the scene for you. And this happened quite a few times. And the first couple of times, me and Mr. Cozy were pretty sympathetic about the outcome of it. But as time went on, we lost our sympathy and started becoming realists for parents. So I have a normal amount of clothes for me. It's, you know, not too much, not too little. It is the perfect amount for me. And I would call it a minimalist wardrobe. I know what I have and I know why I have it. It's easy to manage. My daughter, she loves clothes. She is a fashionista. She will go out and buy all sorts of new outfits, and a lot of times she doesn't really have the space for them. The problem was when she was in her early teens, she didn't value them. She had her own job. She worked part-time and went to school as well. She finished high school. But she went to school and she worked for her extras. And part of those extras were buying clothing and taking selfies and doing what normal teenagers do. So the first couple of times that we realized that we had a pant crotch destroyer, you know, I tried to come up with a better term. I really did. And nothing worked. Nothing was descriptive enough. Nothing really, you know, grabbed me. And I figured just to go with exactly what it was, which is pant crotch destroyer. Because that was the outcome of every single one of these stories that I'm going to tell you about. Actually, I'm going to summarize it into a few minutes. So the first couple of times it happened, we were sympathetic. And we tried to teach our daughter about the repercussions of leaving her door open or leaving her clothing on the floor. Like, if you value it, make sure that it's put in the laundry basket. Make sure that your door is closed at the very minimum. If you want to throw your clothes on the floor, that's fine. But make sure your door is always closed. That is our easiest solution to this. And she always would say, no, Mabel needs to stay out of my room. Like, there was some sort of invisible line that this poor corgi was going to stop at in our house. This did not work. She, like I said, she's a pant crotch destroyer. This is her mission in life. So the first couple of times we would be very sympathetic, and I would feel bad, and I'd go out and I'd replace the items that my dog destroyed. And no parent really wants to see their kid struggling. They don't want to see them upset about something. So, you know, my first instant reactions were to, I'm sorry, it's my fault, I'm going to fix it. After the third time this happened, the sympathies went away, because each time that Mabel had went into her room and destroyed some sort of clothing, I would always ask her a few questions. Well, where was this said article that is now destroyed? Where was it? Well, it was on my floor. Mabel's a corgi, remember? And she doesn't have the vertical prowess to jump from the floor onto a bed. So even if they would have been on a bed, they would have been safe. Nope, they were dropped on the floor. Okay. Was your door open? Because now apparently, you know, I just have to check, make sure that my dog doesn't know how to open doors now. All of a sudden she can jump vertically high to the door handle and just turn it with her little cute stubby paws. Nope. Door was open. But there was no responsibility for that. And unfortunately, as a parent, I had to teach my daughter the hard way. Because if I kept replacing her clothes, she wasn't going to learn. Now, I might catch some flack from this from other parents, but just keep in mind that every parent does things differently. Our role as parents is not to judge how other people raise their children, as long as they're not beating them, right? So if I would have continued to replace her clothing, there's no reason for her to take responsibility. She never would have taken responsibility for what kept happening. And after about the fifth time, maybe the sixth time, of me saying, "Oh, sorry about your luck. Was your door open?" "Well, yeah." "And where were they?" "Well, they were on the floor. She shouldn't come past my door." And that is her exact tone that she used with me. Like, she was really frustrated that my dog was going past the threshold in her bedroom. That was something that me and Mr. Cozy, we definitely put our foot down and we were like, "No, your responsibility is to close that door and to pick up your clothes off of the floor. If you really value them as much as you say, they wouldn't be on the floor. They would not be on the floor, and they would not be on the floor in a bedroom where there is a known crotch muncher in the house. Pant crunch crotch monster. If you know that there's a corgi that likes to eat pant crotches, don't leave your door open." And it was as simple as that. So by the fifth or the sixth time, she was finally starting to get it, because at this point, she had to pay to replace them. It didn't matter. She still screamed and she did the hormonal teenager thing. She was still angry that this dog was doing what this dog has always done and weirdly does. And it's in a dog's nature to do this. But she just kept on putting the blame on everybody else. And I don't believe in that. As a parent and as a human being, if you see somebody that is consistently blaming somebody else in their life for their shortcomings or for things that are happening to them or for issues, my friend, they were not taught as a child to take responsibility for their actions. That is an adult that you should clearly do a big, wide berth around. So, now that we've gotten that over and done with. So she's slowly starting to learn that this happens. And there is probably some of that within in her teenage mind, because teenagers do get forgetful. They don't really think things through. They, you know, forget simple steps within their thought process or within their day. There's things that are more important than shutting the door or picking up their clothes. So the pant crotch destroyer, also known as Mabel, she goes after the cheap leggings, she goes after the panties, she even goes after the expensive leggings. And those ones were the ones that were probably the most heartbreaking to hear, because I knew how much our daughter had paid for them, and yet she didn't value them. So how much you pay for something is not the same as you valuing it. When you value something, you take care of it. If you think you've driven down a street and there's day by day by day by day. The same house always has toys out front. Seasons change, those toys are out front. They're starting to rust over the years. Then, you know, like if they've got a basketball out, that's going to eventually get deteriorated by the elements from being outside all of that time. So they may have lots of stuff, but they don't value it, because if they valued it, they would take care of it. And if they took care of it, it would have longevity. If it had longevity, you wouldn't have to repurchase it. You're not going to be spending money that you really don't need to be spending, because you're taking care of your stuff. And when you look at that and you start to process this whole flow of value into your life, into your stuff, you're going to be able to easily look at stuff and say, I don't really feel like taking care of that. I don't value that enough to take care of it. And then you can find a home for it that somebody else might value it. I have been gifted things from friends over the years, and they were things that my friends had already gotten their use out of, and they posted on Facebook and said, hey, I've got this. And I'm like, I'll take it. Yes, I'm a minimalist, but I look at stuff like that and I think, okay, I can use it. It is valuable to me. It's something that I'm not going out and I'm buying something new in the store. This has already been purchased. It's already been created. I'm not adding to this buy machine of society that's going on. I am simply getting something from somebody secondhand. And just because I didn't pay anything for it or I paid less for it doesn't mean that I don't value it any less. Everything that comes into my home has a purpose. So when I was saying before, you could look at something and you might be able to say, well, I don't know, I don't really feel like I want to maintain it. That'll make it easier to declutter. And as you flex this, I want to say it's like a value muscle. When you flex this muscle of understanding what you truly value in your home, and it's stuff that you use, the stuff that you need, and the stuff that you love. When you start to figure out what those things are and what you value, it'll make it easier for you to say, this is what I want, the rest can go. It makes it easier for you to be able to declutter. One of my favorite things about valuing stuff is the maintenance part of it. Before, when I had too much stuff, it would feel overwhelming to even start to think about having regular maintenance schedules on things. Even dusting, my friend, dusting. Dusting is probably one of the easiest things. Like, when I think of the things in my house that are chores and tasks, dusting is probably one of the easiest things that you can do. But there was a point in time I didn't even want to be dusting, I promise you. So when you have less stuff to maintain, it is so much easier to look at the maintenance of those items. You know, I've been known recently to, like, you know, just shine things up. If I've got a little bit of, you know, copper that's getting a little tarnished, I just shine that up, use my little tarnish off for copper. And I never would have done that before. But because I value that piece, and there's also the fact that it came from my grandma's place and it reminds me of her, plus copper is my metal. So of course, there's reasons I value that, and there's reasons I don't feel burdened to maintain it. A funny thing happened when our daughter realized that she wasn't getting really any sympathy from us, me and Mr. Cozy, and there was real consequences to her leaving her stuff on the floor. Now, this didn't happen overnight. This happened over time. And it was little lessons throughout her teenagehood. And I'm the kind of mom that I felt what I was doing with my teenager was preparing her to be an adult. So me taking the responsibility of it from her wasn't really helping her in the beginning. And so when I said, okay, here's what you need to do, and I told her, this is your responsibility. If you value them, you need to take care of them. If you don't want to continue replacing them, you need to take care of them. If you want to get your money's worth out of them, you need to take care of them. So the moral of this story, my friend, valuing things is not about loving things. It comes down to how you treat your stuff. And after a few years, our daughter is now 19. So now she is very careful with her clothes. She has a curated selection. She knows that the more clothes that she has, the more loads of laundry she's going to be doing because of that massive stuff. And she also knows that if she's not taking care of it, she's basically thrown away money. So it can be done. Even if you're thinking, well, I have a teenager, but my relationship with my teenager isn't the same. Or even for yourself, well, I don't know how to start valuing things. It does come. And sometimes you just need to start looking at things a little bit differently. Think of what the maintenance costs of it are. So is it worth maintaining it? Or is it something that you would rather let go of? And I think that's probably an easier shift for the majority of the people that are out there that are listening. So I guess that's the biggest thing. We still do have a pant crotch destroyer, but guess what? We don't feed her. She has no access to any pant crotches that are on the floor because we all value our clothing and we're all picking it up and putting it in hampers or closing our bedroom doors or putting them away. And for me personally, I find it way easier to manage my minimal amount of clothing that has been hyper curated to very, very few things than it would be if I had a big giant closet full of stuff. So keep that in mind and happy valuing, friends. We'll talk soon. Thank you so much for letting me be in your ear for this episode. I just wanted to say thank you to those of you that have popped on over to Apple Podcasts and not only left a star rating, but also left a review telling me just how much this podcast has impacted you. So thank you so much for those of you that have taken the time out of your day to do that. Another thing that I just wanted to say was Instagram is the place to be. I am loving playing with stories, playing with reels, just updating you guys. That's probably the easiest way to reach me personally. I do have Messenger turned on Instagram, but there's so many interactive ways for us to hang out together. So just check out Cozy Minimalism on Instagram. Season 3. This is going to be a blast. Thank you so much for joining me. Thanks for spurring me on. I absolutely appreciate you, friend. Until next time, toodles.